Alexander Valterovich Litvinenko was born on December 4, 1962, in a hospital in Voronezh, 300 miles south of Moscow, a university town where his father was a medical student specializing in pediatrics. He arrived 1 month before term. He weighed 2.4 kilograms, around 6 pounds. His mother, Nina, remembered a difficult birth. She fretted he might not survive. Then a woman in another bed in her ward at the Soviet-era hospital told her that all 8-month babies became famous, an adage that no one would deny in Litvinenko's case, though not in the manner his mother would have forecast or preferred. Even so, who could have imagined that a child of the USSR would secure renown in such a bizarre manner so far from home? In 1962, Nikita Khrushchev was in power in Moscow, and the Soviet Empire spanned half the globe, from Central Asia to the Baltic and the Pacific, its satellite states patrolling the line that divided Europe. The Soviets had been the first to put a man in space, Yuri Gagarin, in 1961, a huge propaganda victory over the United States, challenging Americans with the shocking implications that communism, progress, and technology were not incompatible. This sprawling, secretive empire was not shy about confronting American power. Litvinenko was born in the year of the Cuban Missile Crisis that pushed the United States and the Soviet Union to the brink of nuclear war. True, Khrushchev had offered a kind of liberalization after the death of Joseph Stalin, permitting the publication of the works of Alexander Solzhenitsyn and famously decrying the Stalinist cult of personality. But Khrushchev also led a muscular drive to cement Soviet influence. He approved the crushing of the Hungarian Revolt in 1956, the building of the Berlin Wall in 1961. And at home, the state's writ ran unchallenged, its power exercised through the taut sinews of the KGB and other internal forces created to forestall dissent. Soviet troops occupied garrisons across Eastern Europe. Soviet spies tunneled into the Western political establishment. When Alexander Litvinenko was born, the Cold War was decades away from any thaw, and the Soviet Union was years from collapse. None of that brought direct comfort to ordinary citizens struggling to make ends meet, find an apartment, a telephone line, a car, a television set. The economy ran to order, according to the principles of scientific socialism. Save for the elite, and those with scarce American dollars or British pounds to finance themselves, there was no abundance. The output from the collectivized farms failed to keep pace with the growing population. The harvests were often poor. The shelves in the rubles-only food stores were never full, usually empty. Lines formed. In grim concrete apartment houses ordered up by Khrushchev himself to ease a dire shortage of dwellings in post-war Russia, communal heating failed and sputtered. The Russian winter had no mercy. Litvinenko's life spanned his land's liberation and emasculation, from oppressive superpower to something far less than that, yet something far more than an ordinary nation, a diminished land that dreamed of glory revived. He was a child of history. "We lived in a small room in a hostel in Voronezh," Nina Belyavskaya, Litvinenko's mother, recalled in an interview, sitting in the same two-bedroom apartment outside Moscow where her son spent some of his early years while his father moved on to the northern Caucasus and Russia's far east. "We went hungry and cold because there was no food in the shops. No meat in Russia at the time. We used to buy bones." When she spoke in the summer of 2007, Nina Belyavskaya was 67 years old. A frazzled, faded blonde living on the margins of Russian life, remote from the glitzy ostentation of downtown Moscow with its high-end imported cars and smart eateries. She tended a makeshift shrine to her lost son with a photograph and flowers, and lived on a pension worth about $150 a month. The early years were not so easy either. Imagine a young woman in her early 20s boiling bones for soup, prizing open cans of cheap meat, suckling a child from reluctant breasts. There was no milk in the shops, and I had very little milk. In the factory next to where I worked, they used to give workers special milk rations. I'd go there at 4 p.m. as people were leaving with their milk and would ask them to sell me a couple of bottles to feed my baby, she said. life was very hard. In the Soviet way, with the Russian Orthodox Church suppressed, his mother took the infant Litvinenko secretly to a priest for clandestine baptism, a common enough occurrence in those days. In the very last days of his life, Litvinenko's adherence to his baptismal faith became something of an issue, but his family disputed the extent of its importance to him. His mother insisted that the young Sasha had no interest in religion at all.